Today's episode is brought to you by the Clackamas County Fair and Rodeo, everything a county fair was meant to be. Coming to you August 16th through 20th, only in Canby. Tickets and information at clackamascountyfair.com or download the new app on Google Play or the Apple App Store. This episode is also brought to you by Oddmo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Order today at 503-263-8444 or visit them online at oddmos.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. The Oregon Bigfoot Festival and beyond made its long-awaited debut at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds and Events Center Saturday, drawing thousands to the Yeti-themed celebration, ranging from certified paranormal investigators and other true believers to the skeptical and the curious. Founded by JC and Katie Mercer, the quirky and family-friendly event was started in Troutdale in 2017 and has quickly grown and grown and grown. Even the first year, the event drew thousands to its original home, Glen Otto Community Park. The festival has drawn interest from celebrity Bigfoot researchers. Yes, that's a thing that exists. Artists, media outlets, and nationally syndicated radio and TV personalities. The event's focus has evolved as well, from being centered on Sasquatch to including other things cryptic and paranormal, hence the wording and beyond that was added to its name. By 2019, the festival drew an estimated 7,000 to Troutdale, making it the largest event on that city's calendar. It became obvious that they had outgrown Glen Otto, and the Mercers made plans for a long-term move to the Clackamas County Fairgrounds and Events Center in Canby. The coronavirus pandemic postponed the event's big debut for 2 years, but it finally came to fruition this weekend as dozens of vendors set up shop on the fairgrounds, offering unique cryptozoological food and wares from Sasquatch coffee to Bigfoot teas and other apparel. The big guy himself wandered the grounds throughout the day, posing for selfies, bantering with attendees and vendors, and trying to avoid heat exhaustion. Can Bigfoots get heat exhaustion? Asked how he was handling the triple-digit temperatures, Bigfoot quipped, "Hey, this is why I have all this fur. It insulates me from the environment. If I shaved it all off like you guys, I'd be as hot as you." I can't argue with a Sasquatch. For photos, find this story on our website at canbyfirst.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at canbycurrent. The three women running to be Oregon's next governor sparred over abortion, homelessness, guns, and climate change in their first debate on Friday. Friday's forum, hosted by the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association at a resort in Welch's, was the unofficial start of the general election campaign and the first time Democrat Tina Kotek, Republican Christine Drazen, and non-affiliated candidate Betsy Johnson met on the debate stage. But the three have debated publicly and privately during their past years in the state legislature. Kotek, who was the Speaker of the Oregon House for 9 years, argued that she alone has the experience to solve pressing issues facing Oregon, ranging from homelessness to inflation to addiction. No matter what the other candidates say here today, there are no quick fixes, Kotek said. There are no miracle cures. Only hard work is going to allow us to ensure that every part of our state can thrive. Drazen, the House Minority Leader from 2019 to 2021, contended that she should be Oregon's first Republican governor in four decades because the state needs a new direction. We have got to choose change, Drazen said. Homelessness will not change under these two ladies. Crime will not improve. Our schools will not improve. We need real leadership and real change to hold the Democrats to account. And Johnson, a former conservative Democratic state senator from Columbia County who left her party to run for governor, said she's a choice between the radical right Oregonians distrust and the progressive left they fear. Christine wants to be the first anti-choice governor in Oregon's history, promising to veto pro-choice policies, Johnson said. Tina wants to preserve tent cities and bring the culture wars to your kids' classroom. She'd have us all woke and broke. While these two keep fighting, I'm going to reject the political extremes and lead Oregon towards common ground. Oregonians listed the cost of living and homelessness as their top issues in a January poll, and all three candidates acknowledged homelessness as a crisis. At least 14,655 Oregonians experienced homelessness on a single night in January 2020, according to the latest available data from the U.S. Housing and Urban Development Department's annual point-in-time count. Kotek described her work on Project Turnkey, which launched with $65 million in 2020 to convert unused hotels and motels into emergency housing. It resulted in about 900 new shelter beds in 13 counties before lawmakers added a combined $60 million in 2021 and 2022. Ending the homelessness crisis will require increased shelter space, more housing, and teams that can work with homeless people to get them the resources they need, Kotek said. This is complex, and there is not one single way to solve it, she said. You need to do all of it. It's a personal issue on the ground, making sure people who are hurting right now get the services they need to move to a place with a locked door and then get into permanent housing, and we need more housing. Johnson said she supports models like one at the former Wapato Jail in North Portland, a never-used jail that since October 2020 has been a sober living space. People pay $250 a month for a bed and three meals a day, but they must stay sober. She said Bend is looking at a similar model in an unused jail, though a Bend city councilor and mayoral candidate, Melanie Kebler, told the Capital Chronicle no such plan is in the works and there isn't any unused jail. Johnson's campaign spokeswoman didn't respond to a request for clarification on Friday afternoon. Drazen said the state's primary focus on housing and shelters hasn't solved the problem, and there needs to be more money directed to wraparound services. What we have been experiencing in Oregon right now has enabled this problem to spiral out of control, she said. The city of Molalla issued a boil water notice on Thursday afternoon following a broken water main line that caused several areas on opposite ends of the city to lose pressure entirely. This notice was for everyone who lost water pressure at the time that the high pressure line broke, according to the notice from Molalla Public Works. While there is no evidence that the water became unsafe to drink and the treatment plant was unaffected by the break, the danger of coliform bacteria and siphoning of unwanted chemicals is one the city takes very seriously, the notice said. While generally not harmful themselves, coliforms can indicate that other, potentially harmful bacteria may be present. City officials reiterate that while there was no evidence coliforms or any other harmful substances were present in the water supply, the notice was being issued out of an abundance of caution while the city performed precautionary testing. The boil water notice was lifted shortly before 4 p.m. on Friday after the testing was completed and verified that the city's water is safe. The Oregon Health Authority authorized the city to lift restrictions, the new notice said. Restaurants and all other city water customers were advised that they may immediately resume normal operations. Residents who experience discolored water should run their faucets for a few minutes and then contact the city if the problem persists. Officials advise that discolored water is not unsafe, but it does taste bad, and it doesn't clean stuff very well. A special thanks to our public works crew that worked like mad to get this situation in hand. Our public works management, who worked diligently to administer the necessary processes, the city support staff who fielded numerous questions and concerns, and the Mulala community for your patience and support while the situation was resolved, the city said on its Facebook page. The city of Mulala draws its water from the Mulala River, about 10 miles upstream from Canby Utilities intake. There was no boil water notice in effect for Canby residents, and no reason to believe that Mulala's mainline break affected downstream users. Two Portland men were arrested Friday night when deputies uncovered a stash of illegal drugs and weapons during a routine traffic stop in Estacada for expired plates. The Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, which is contracted to provide police services in Estacada, stopped 20-year-old Kenneth Allen Nelson on Oregon Highway 224 near Park Avenue shortly before 9 p.m. on Friday, July 22nd. The license plates on his Honda Accord had expired more than 2 years ago, deputies reported in a July 27th Facebook post. In search of the car, deputies allegedly uncovered more than 100 pills stamped M30 and believed to contain fentanyl, nearly half a pound of methamphetamine, face masks, two scales, and multiple weapons, including a gun without a serial number. Nelson was arrested on charges of possession of a controlled substance, unlawful possession of a firearm, and obliterating firearm ID marks. His passenger, 21-year-old passenger Justin Everett Cogburn, also of Portland, was taken into custody on a parole violation. Both were transported to the Clackamas County Jail. The vehicle was towed and evidence seized, according to the sheriff's office.
Hey, Tyler, we have a furry new friend I wanted to show you. His name is Frankie with an I-E. Isn't that cute?
Oh, I get it, because you're Frankie with a C-K-E.
Yeah.
That's so clever.
I know.
The only cute thing I see on this video is me, because you're blurry and frozen.
What? No way. I just got a new phone, and it's supposed to have a great camera.
Dude, you can have the best camera in the world, but you still freeze up if your video calls don't have quality internet.
So what should I do? Frankie's playing in the pool, and it's absolutely adorable.
I'm guessing you're using your mobile data for this FaceTime call, right? Just connect to your home Wi-Fi instead. I bet your video comes through just fine. You did just upgrade to direct link with Wi-Fi and fast upload speed, so you might as well get the best use out of them.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, hang on. There. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I should be on my Wi-Fi now.
Yep.
Can you see Frankie in the pool?
Oh, he looks like he's having a blast. See what fast upload speeds can do? For upload and downloads at the speed of aww, visit www.directlink.coop/internet or give him a call at 503-266-8111.
Frankie, give me back my phone.
I'm Roz Mason. I'm running for Oregon Senate District 26. This is a rural district, and while our area has historically been seen as a Republican stronghold, this is simply no longer the case. A near even number of registered voters from both parties now live in our area, and the voice of independent and non-affiliated voters is critically important. I'm the candidate with the best track record of bridge building and working across the political spectrum. I'm committed to representing all people in my district. I show that through my involvement in public safety, the military, business, and agriculture. We all want responsible legislation and civility. In this race, your vote and involvement really matter. join us at masonfororegon.com. Paid for by Mason for Oregon, 21968.
All right. Well, we are excited to welcome back on to the show Matt Morrissey of Wayward Sandwiches and Siren Song. Hey, Matt.
Hi.
We are sitting here at Siren Song, which is just this cool oasis, just as you would imagine, with just tropical breezes flowing.
It's a balmy...
yes, yeah.
I'd say it's probably somewhere between 85 and 90 in here right now.
Well, you know, the Greek coast is probably often balmy, so...
That's true.
Absolutely. Matt, obviously, you know, everyone knows your restaurants and whatnot, but we are here to talk about... an event that you have coming up. You do wine dinners, but the one coming up this next month on August 2nd is a really cool partnership with the Junior Livestock Auction. So this actually kind of started or was inspired by something you guys did last year.
Correct. Yeah, so we were invited to the Junior Livestock Auction, which happens, it's the Saturday morning of the Clackamas County Fair.
Yeah.
Every Saturday morning of the Clackamas County Fair, they get all of these kids, FFA and 4-H.
We auction off the kids.
No. Exactly. They fetch a pretty penny on the black market.
Clackamas County tradition.
Great Clackamas County. Little known Clackamas County tradition. So they raise animals.
They work very hard.
Very hard.
Throughout the year and sometimes multiple years raising these animals. Yeah. They do a fantastic job.
These animals.
And many of them fetch top dollar.
No, they do. It's it's crazy. Like, so the whole, I'd never experienced it or anything like it.
Yeah.
A contractor that we worked with, his son raises animals. And he asked if we would be interested in sponsoring, and I was sure, you know, I'm always interested. And and he's like, and he said to us, he's like, if this gets too expensive, no worries.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And so we showed up, and essentially they've got this, it's almost like a, you know, this ring, that's just filled with grandstands.
Yeah.
And you've got all these people bidding on these animals. They have professional auctioneers who...
It's a big deal.
Well, and they like, you know, I don't know who all... A lot of folks donate their time and services to this thing to keep the costs down. So all the money raised... We had a conversation actually the other day, and last year they only 3% of the... price
went to overhead.
Yeah, and that's better than any nonprofit out there.
That's
insane. That 97% of the money goes to where it's intended.
Yeah,
and it's a tax write-off for anyone who does it. But neither here nor there. So they've got these kids and these, and they raise everything from rabbits to goats to
all
sheep,
manner of poultry.
I don't know that they do all manner of poultry. I think it was just turkeys.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't think they do chickens, but they do, swine and beef and all this stuff. And these kids are just, you know, they've spent the entire, year, or close to a year, or multiple years raising these animals. And, you know, these animals are not, it's not like a, a cat or a dog or a goldfish or something like that. You know, they require a lot of tending to.
And they're really carefully bred. Like, they come from the top breed stock a lot of times.
Yeah. And you have to train them to show at market. And you have to, and there's a whole, I mean, it's extremely rigorous.
Yeah.
And anyway, so it's just such an impressive event.
Yeah.
And so we bought an animal. We bought a steer. It was the 4-H Reserve Champion, which was basically means that it was, for lack of a better term, the fourth rated steer in the from Clackamas County, the show.
Yeah.
And we had it processed at a facility that allowed us to use it again in our restaurants.
Yeah.
And we did a wine dinner because we do Wayward does wine dinners. We do them every month. It's usually the last Tuesday of every month we do these wine dinners, and typically we do five courses paired with wines. It's usually $100 is what we do, and these dinners are like fine dining events.
Amazing, yeah. Like they're gourmet, yeah.
Exactly. Like, chef Justin is Justin Rouse is an incredible chef, and we put together these, and for a lot of folks that have never had a dining experience like this, they don't understand what $100 and it's. I'm telling you, we don't understand that it's not for everyone, and not everyone is a foodie or likes that type of stuff. And we understand that it's prohibitively expensive for a lot of folks, and we respect and understand that too. But if you're ever interested in trying, it's these dinners. So anyway, we did a dinner focused on prime cuts from this animal, that we had purchased, and the FFA the folks at the Junior Livestock Auction Board, or committee or whatever it is, they caught wind and reached out to me about.
Well, I want to ask real quick about that first dinner. So, like, how from Justin's perspective and from your guys' perspective, like, how unique or how sort of exciting is it to? Because that hardly ever happens, right? Where you're designing a menu or designing a dinner. With one source of an animal, right?
One
source of meat.
It's super exciting. Yeah. You know what I mean? The thing about it is that you talk about, like, really choice cuts of meat that you buy at, whatever. What's an expensive place to buy meat.
Yeah.
New Seasons or something like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of those cows are still on ranches that are for-profit enterprises, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of animals that get processed and obviously, they treated better in their prime or whatever. These animals raised by these kids, and you're talking about one-to-one, they're raising this animal and this animal
they
alone.
They don't have a herd,
Like the care and attention and, is can't be beat.
Yeah.
So the quality of the meat is off the charts.
Yeah.
And Justin had a lot of fun with it. We took some of the bones and made kind of a stock, and then made a sauce out of some of it. And we did I think we did a tartare.
Yeah, tartare.
We did obviously some sort of a grilled steak. We did you get to really explore the different cuts and the different flavors that can come out of that type of thing. It was a really neat dinner, and ideally we'll do it again this year.
Yeah. Okay. So this year.
So then fast forward to this year, and we got the
Junior Livestock Auction
reached out to us and said, hey, you're obviously did this thing and you're kind of a cheerleader for, would you be interested in doing an event with us? And we're like, yeah, of course, obviously jumped at the chance. And we ended up kind of going through and talking it through and thought that it would be neat to do it at the fairgrounds and make it a little bit larger event. And so this is our first year doing it, and I'm sure we'll learn and hopefully, but ideally this will be an event that we kind of make an annual tradition out of. And the goal is really to just broaden the awareness of the Junior Livestock Auction, what it is. So we'll have kids that are presenting in between courses, talking about the auction, talking about the impact it's had on their life, talking about how you can participate, how you can help, buying the animals. I mean, that's the thing is that you can, if you don't want to buy a whole beef, you can buy, there's all sorts of different kinds of animals. And honestly, you can, if you, if you don't, wouldn't know what to do with all the cuts of an animal or something like that, you can still just donate. But it, the really neat thing is that, you can get a couple, 2-3 people together.
Yeah.
Buy the animal and split it up, and you've got, you've got your beef for a year
or
whatever.
They
have it set up there where it's not like you're just buying a cow and this thing gets dropped off in your front yard.
Yeah.
It's, they have people
luck.
Yeah, right.
Your problem now.
They have folks that will process it for you.
Yeah.
The local butcher houses help do these things because they believe in it too.
You mentioned the place that you had it. There are local butchers that can do for private use, and then there are other places you have to go for for-profit use.
Your average person that's just going to take it home and eat it and grill it on 4th of July or whatever. I believe they had something like 10 different butcher houses, including Ebner's here in town that you could use.
Yep.
Because we're a restaurant, we have to have it butchered at a USDA facility.
Yep.
So we did Kalapuya, which is awesome. They were great to work with, but I'm sure any number of the local folks, including Ebner's, would happily help. And they offer packages to kind of just have it cut in normal ways so that you're getting things cuts you're familiar with. And then they'll work with you is largely the point. But split it up in between neighbors, or, you know, if you think you can go through it, just you've got a chest freezer at home.
Yeah.
Get the whole thing, throw it in there.
Yeah. This is really cool to see because from the very beginning with Wayward Sandwiches, before Siren Song was a glimmer in your eye, I remember talking to you guys, one of your guiding North Stars has always been this passion for buying local, supporting local producers and whatnot. And this is just another example of you guys putting your money where your mouth is. But why is that such a big passion of yours and always has been?
For somebody who's spent their life in food, the thing that, and I think we saw it in this pandemic, is that as food continues to get centralized, it's bad for everyone. Yeah. We were running out of beef at points and then chicken at points. Well, that's because there's literally a handful of processing plants across the country that produce, 75% of this country's, chicken or beef or anything like that. And same with the massive agriculture. And those things exist and are able, in the way they farm, they keep prices down, but they don't treat people well. The human element is gone. Whereas, these local farmers and local ranchers, you pay more, and I know not everyone can afford that, and I respect that. We're not shunning the existence of large, but folks that can support locally, raised food, whether it's proteins or vegetables or whatever, if you have the means, it's obviously a more ideal situation. And I think for us, that's, you're dealing with, we like to deal, have a face, we get our peaches from TK Orchards, I shake their hand and I have a relationship with those people.
Yeah.
We get our greens from a place and we shake their hands and it's different to write a check and impact somebody's life directly rather than just write, these monster checks to Cisco or any of these other things. So we are passionate about that because, I want to support the people who I live around, and community is very important to us.
It's cool because it does hit a lot of, it reaches across a lot of different sort of values that people might, whether you care about animals, care about the environment, care about farmers and small businesses, it checks a lot of those boxes.
And it just makes sense as the world gets crazier and, pandemics and wildfires and all the things that seem to be happening more and more these days, it's important to be able to sustain yourself from what's around you. And if we can help in some small way keep these businesses not only existing but flourishing, then that's a win. It's a win for us, it's a win for everyone, and I think that people, if they don't recognize it, hopefully they'll begin to recognize the importance of those things. And it's not a political issue.
Yeah.
It's not. It's community. And it is literally like us, we talk about supply chain and everyone's like, talks about all the things that they can't get. Well, if it's produced in your backyard, then
you can get it.
You can get it, right?
Yeah.
We're not waiting. Yeah, you're independent. We're not waiting for it to come from China or the Midwest or Mexico or whatever, if it's in our backyard. So why wouldn't we want to support them?
Absolutely. Yeah. You still have openings? Where
do
folks?
So we you can either, if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you can just direct message us. If you want to call Wayward Sandwiches, we can take reservations that way. The number there is 503-266-3100. Or you can email us at info@waywardsandwiches.com. And any one of those three ways gets you to a reservation. We still have a few seats for sure.
Yeah.
We anticipate that over the weekend, hopefully, we'll start ramping up here. But we've got a good crowd already. But we're prepared for more.
Awesome. Yeah. That's going to be Tuesday, August 2nd, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. at the 4-H Hall at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Hey, Tyler. Read any good books lately?
Yeah, actually, I'm reading a really good one right now.
Awesome. What's it about?
It's kind of complicated, but there's like these two kids with an absent parent, and then this mysterious stranger shows up with his sinister accomplices, and they just start wreaking havoc in their lives. I think it's like a Faustian metaphor.
Wow, that sounds really dense.
It is.
Interesting, though. Who wrote it?
You know, I think it's like a doctor, starts with like an S or something, Sass, Sos.
Tyler, are you reading The Cat in the Hat?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. It's taken me like 2 months to get this far.
Okay. Well, hey, whatever your interest or reading level, open the world of all things books at the Book Nook in downtown Canby.
Yeah, guys, this local, independently owned and operated store is your one-stop shop for the latest releases and great deals on a huge variety of previously owned books, as well as games, art, and writing supplies and gifts.
They also do book clubs and game nights if you're looking for some fun, healthy activities right here in Canby. And hey, you know, for you, Tyler, they have a really expansive selection of children's books.
Oh, cool. Anyway, check them out on Facebook and Instagram, online at booknookcanby.com, or stop by 294 Northwest 2nd Avenue and let their friendly staff introduce you to your new favorite read. Hey, Frankie, why do you think I'd be interested in children's books?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
Those of us who call this area home know there's just something special about the Clackamas County Fair. Maybe it's the livestock and agricultural displays where the farmers and youngsters who toil all year to work the land and feed our country showcase the fruits of their labor. Maybe it's the food. Hey, where else can you feast on a foot-long hand-dipped corn dog and a pile of ribbon fries the size of Mount Hood? And for dessert, homemade sour cream and raisin pie? A chocolate and vanilla swirl cone from the Dairy Women Red Barn, or for the purist, the one and only elephant ear. Maybe it's the long nights on the Midway, or the unmatched thrill of man against nature in the Canby Rodeo, or the inspired performances of musicians and entertainers playing for their favorite hometown crowd. Or maybe it's that sense you get as soon as you step foot onto the historic Clackamas County Fairgrounds and you realize we do things a little differently here, and are willing to work a little harder to preserve the things we love. Whatever it is, the Clackamas County Fair has got it, and in spades. Come see everything a county fair was meant to be, only in Canby, August 16th through the 20th. Tickets on sale now at clackamascountyfair.com or on the new Clackamas County Fair app on Google Play or the Apple App Store.
Okay, we're out here with Derek Hill of Advantage Mortgage. Derek, why don't you tell us what's going on out here?
You know, we are really excited that about this 3-on-3 tournament. It's something that I've been a part of with Rotary for, I don't know, 10-plus years now.
Yeah.
And just
really coming back.
Yeah, it's nice.
For a while, it wasn't sure that it would.
A lot of people said that.
Yeah.
After the pandemic, everybody was like, are you really having it? I mean,
yeah.
We took it over like 4 months ago, and everybody was like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, we're doing it. So I'm really excited, and thank goodness that Rotary's still going to be a part of it, and we got a bunch of great people to help out, and just love to see the smiling faces on kids. It's a blast.
Yeah. Obviously, registrations have closed at this point, but
were the numbers kind of where what you would hope for in terms of...
You know, we have 82 teams this year, which we think is perfect for our first year.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be crazy. And
yeah.
The nice thing is the tournament will be over about 3:30, and, you know, with this heat, it'll actually be perfect. And then next year, I think we'll get to the normal 100 to 110 teams.
Yeah, yeah. You know, KB has so many local events, but this is just such a really neat one where you sort of turn, you know, surround Waite Park with basketball players. It's really kind of amazing.
You know, every year that I've been a volunteer, that's what you see. You know, I have parents, when you're wearing your Rotary shirt, they come up to you and they just go, oh my God, this is so amazing.
Yeah.
People that have never seen it, and they come to Canby and they see this little town and they go, we never even knew this was here. So that's another amazing thing.
Yeah, yeah. How is it structured as a tournament? It's different ages? Is it co-ed?
I think it's ages 8 on up.
Yeah.
I mean, we have one team that's 50 over
that
brag about winning it every year. So,
yeah,
we got 2 courts that are set up at 8 foot for the little guys, and then... all ages, all, you know, male, female, you bet.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. What do they win besides bragging rights?
Well, this year we stepped it up. They used to give $20 to each finalist. This year we went $25. We're going to do...
Inflation, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to do $25 gift cards to either Wayward Sandwiches or the Wild Hare, because we love giving back to our, you know, local businesses. And then second place, each winner gets... $10 gift certificates.
Yeah.
So that's what they win. Something small, but at least it's something.
Yeah. What's, for folks that have never seen it, how would you describe the style of play that you see out here?
Oh, the style of play. I think it depends on the age bracket. There are definitely some guys that get a little serious.
Yeah, there's a sweet spot there. Not too young, maybe not too old. That's where you probably find the highest.
Yeah, but honestly, everybody has a good time, and I think everybody realizes that this is a community event, and I don't think it's, you know, nobody's trying to make the NBA from here, but I think at the most part,
no one's looking to get discovered.
exactly.
KB Rotary President Craig Roberts, you as well, you and your team, you know, you mentioned the heat. You guys have taken a lot of efforts to really... inform people and just kind of prepare for that. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we have a medical staff here. Dr. Dewar is going to be here on staff as a not only a doctor but also, you know, physical therapist. So if any of the injuries, we have a misting station. We're going to have water everywhere. There's food carts. There's shaved ice. There's tons of shade. I mean, we're here at 3 o'clock and there's lots of shade. So
it's good. Yeah, yeah. Are there other businesses and things that are involved? Obviously, you, Advantage Mortgage, you got your tent out here.
One of our main sponsors is obviously Direct Link. We're really happy to have those guys on board. And then Stephanie Peck from Peck's Realty and her team, they're a big sponsor. So they're going to be here helping out tomorrow. And the Wild Hare, Matt Olson and his team. I'm trying to think. You got me off guard.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Charles Schwab and then... I know there's a couple others, but they're all on the website.
Yeah, website. Shout that out. Is it canby3on3?
Yep. It's
nothingbutnetcanby.com.
Nothingbutnetcanby.com.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, we're out here Friday afternoon. The tournament's going to be tomorrow.
Saturday. 9 o'clock. Well, it starts at 9. Registration's at 8, and it'll go till probably 3:30.
We got probably your family and employees and their families and about 24 or so Rotarians. How's it feel just kind of seeing everybody working together?
I enjoy it. I know a lot of people think it's work, but for me, it's like, okay, you kind of see the vision and see the basketball hoops get up, and then you kind of get excited to see all the games tomorrow. So it's work, but it's fun.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Well, Derek, thanks so much for taking this on. It was disappointing to me when, you know, it was looking like it might not come back. So
I know,
I know it's a lot of work and a big lift for a smallish team, but...
we love it. We're happy to do it. Great, and we're looking forward to keeping it going for as long as we can. So thank you, Tyler.
Awesome.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, Do you know any trivia that isn't, like, animal-related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest-running, locally-owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately, like, caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This, Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This, Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.